understand that life happens, and sometimes you need a little financial boost. That's why at Seaplant Federal Credit Union, we offer low-rate loans tailored to your needs. Whether it's a car loan, a personal loan, or anything in between, we've got you covered. Learn more at cplant.com or visit any of Seaplant Federal Credit Union's 9 local branches. Member NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Well, gang, good Monday morning. It's been an exciting weekend around Marion, Kentucky, as the Legacy of Liberty, this long-planned event, was pulled off despite Mother Nature throwing an incredible wet curveball at the group putting them on. Cheers to Kim Vince and Braden Locke, the co-chairs of this event. Being able to pivot and pull this thing off despite just some almost insurmountable odds, considering the weather. As it turns out, everything that was planned for outdoors was moved inside. Some of it went out to the school, into Foes Hall, inside the museums. And in between thunderstorms and rain showers, the Civil War reenactors and the Revolutionary War reenactors who were actually camped in the parking lot of Foes Hall through all of it were able to dry out just enough to get their muskets to fire and their cannons. So basically the reports from everyone who attended, said it was a great program, great event, despite all of the distractions by the weather. And the people who put on the programs, like Eddie Price, who came in from Hancock County to put on a couple of programs in the upper room of Foes Hall, he said he does these every weekend somewhere. And called this one of the best events he's been to in several years. So, again, kudos for Kim Vince and Braden Locke for being able to orchestrate this with a lot of help, mind you. Don't want to slight anyone else who helped put this program on, but they were the leading force behind it, and this group had been orchestrating this over the past really 10 or 11 months. So it was a shame that the rains spoiled some of the programs that were planned, like the 1860s baseball game that was going to occur out at the park. But nonetheless, most of the programs were able to be moved inside. And a great time had by all. You can check out the Crittenden Press and find all of the follow-up information, the winners of the contest and such. We'll have all that in the newspaper this week. If you missed it on social media, much of that stuff was posted over the weekend. Now, I portrayed Reuben Field at the Legacy of Liberty, and he was a soldier in the Lewis and Clark expedition, and he was one of 9 young men from Kentucky. And I told the story of how he joined the Corps of Discovery and went to the Pacific Ocean and came back, and how much money he was paid, and all sorts of details about that trip. But I want to, after the short break, come back and tell you a story about the Lewis and Clark expedition that you probably have never heard, and how it ties to one of Kentucky's most storied traditions. I'll be right back in just a moment.
Since the mid-1960s, Miles LP Gas has been meeting the area's propane needs. For pricing, call 866-427-5469 or visit mileslpgas.com.
So again, my portrayal of Reuben Field at the Legacy of Liberty event, it's something I've done. I used to do quite a bit of programs at schools and libraries and such, but I kind of dusted off the old attire that I wore many years ago when I did that, and portrayed Reuben Field once again at this event. And it's really fun to do in my coonskin cap. Everyone thought I was Davy Crockett or Daniel Boone, but Just it's enlightening to understand how some Kentucky men had a hand in the famous Lewis and Clark trip out to the Pacific Ocean back in the early 1800s. But what most people don't know is the connection of Lewis and Clark and Kentucky's later history. Probably one of the most enduring traditions in American sports owes its unlikely debt to that Lewis and Clark expedition. And that is the Kentucky Derby and Churchill Downs. They both trace their origins to Meriwether Lewis Clark Jr., who was the grandson of the famed explorer General William Clark, who co-led that Corps of Discovery with Meriwether Lewis back in 1804 to 1806. And actually, it started really in 1803 because they came from Pittsburgh through this area along the Ohio River to St. Louis, where the final part of that expedition, you might say, started. But, you know, Meriwether Lewis actually took his own life down around Nashville. He was, after they had gotten back from that trip, he was, a year or so later, was headed to Washington, D.C., to meet with Thomas Jefferson and then also to settle some debts. And he ended up taking his own life, tragically. And there's a monument and some area down there in Tennessee that you can see where that happened. It's east of, west of Nashville. But nonetheless, I want to tell you about Meriwether Lewis Clark. Now, he was the grandson of William Clark, and Meriwether Lewis Clark was, of course, named after Meriwether Lewis, and this was Meriwether Lewis Clark Jr., and he was the grandson of General William Clark. But inspired by horse racing, this gentleman, Meriwether Lewis Clark Jr., which he had observed in Europe, he returned back to Kentucky with this vision to create a world-class racing venue. And he was backed financially by his Churchill relatives. His uncle was a Churchill, and he founded, Meriwether Lewis Clark founded the Louisville Jockey Club and oversaw construction of, you guessed it, Churchill Downs in May of 1875. The track hosted the inaugural Kentucky Derby and launched what would become America's most famous horse race. And it was Clark's influence that had extended far beyond the Kentucky Derby itself. He had helped establish many of the racing rules that are still used today and promoted standardized racing practices and introduced innovations that shaped modern thoroughbred horse racing. And though his life tragically ended in 1899, just as Meriwether Lewis's had, his namesake, his legacy still lives on in every event on the first Saturday of May. So there's you a tie to the Kentucky Derby from the Lewis and Clark expedition. And we'll be right back after this short message from one of our sponsors.
Crazy Train Fireworks is ready to help you celebrate America's 250th birthday. With stores in Marion, Morganfield, Providence, Benton, and Paducah, there's a Crazy Train's location close to you. Check out the Liberty Shell, designed especially for America's 250th. As always, there's a huge selection of big booms for adults and smaller fun fireworks to entertain the kids. Check out Crazy Train's Facebook page or stop by the Marion location on Sturgis Road.
Well, speaking of fireworks, area residents will have several opportunities to celebrate Independence Day and the holiday this coming weekend with fireworks displays all around West Kentucky, and led by two very popular local events. Tulu's annual July 4th celebration returns this coming Saturday, featuring free children's activities, food vendors, live music, raffles, and fireworks at dark. Activities will include wet and dry bouncy houses. That's always fun. A cornhole tournament, patriotic entertainment, and just a variety of food options there on the grounds at the former Tulu School. The event is, as usual, sponsored by Tulu Methodist Church. And then also the Thunder in the Valley celebration will be Friday night, July 3rd, in Fredonia at Buddy Rogers Park. Those festivities begin at 6 p.m. with concessions, a bouncy house, face painting, live music, patriotic dress contests, and just all sorts of things for the kids, including a chalk walk. Fireworks, of course, will kick off at dark. And if you're not around for one of those two local events, there's some more in the area. July 3rd, Thunder over Eddy Bay. That's down at Eddy Creek Marina. And then Light Up the Sky will be at Moore's Resort and Marina in Gilbertsville. And then the Lake Barkley State Park there near Cadiz will have a 4th of July celebration, as will Calvert City. Has their annual Ameribration celebration. And, you know, from my home near Fredonia, I can see those fireworks in Calvert City. So I can sit on my back porch and watch that. A couple of things also to bring to your attention. The Crittenden County Agriculture and Rural Leadership Hall of Fame is asking for nominations right now. You can make a nomination to or of someone that is either living or deceased, and they have a packet available that you can fill out to make that nomination at the Crittenden County Extension Office. And the deadline now is July the 2nd, okay? That's Thursday. So you've got to get that in this week if you want to nominate someone. So you can get some more information by calling out at the Extension Office. And that number, of course, 270-965-5236. Some of the past recipients of that recognition have been Virgil Cook, Jack Voss, Tommy Chandler, Larry Parrish, Wade and Sue Button, and Carol Hendricks. So make your nominations this week. And also coming up, the community prayer, 10 a.m. Saturday, July 4th at Marion Commons. Of course, that community prayer is held the first Saturday of each month. And then on Monday, a week from today, Marion Code Enforcement Board will have its regular meeting. That will be at 5 p.m. at City Hall.
Are you hungry for slow-cooked, fall-off-the-bone flavor? Stop by Marion Pit Barbecue, a local legend serving up mouth-watering barbecue for over 40 years. From juicy ribs and chicken to our famous pulled pork, Marion Pit Barbecue offers big portions and even bigger value 7 days a week. On Tuesday and Friday, try our loaded smoked potato. Wednesday and Saturday, hickory smoked ribs, and Thursday and Sunday, barbecue chickens. Marion Pit Barbecue, located on South Main Street in Marion. Come hungry, leave happy. Don't forget the sauce.
And I'm going to leave you with a little bit of concerning news this morning, something we've been following and you've heard me speak of over the last couple of weeks is the Cave and Rock Ferry contract negotiations. This week is the deadline. Tomorrow is the last day of the contract, Tuesday, June 30th. And as of right now, there is no agreement between the ferry operator and the two states to continue that service across the Ohio River. Now, there been 11th hour agreements in the past. We go through this every couple of years, it seems, when this contract is formalized, or at least over the past 6 or 8 years, it's been problematic. But I talked with County Judge Executive Perry Newcomb over the weekend, and as of right now, the impasse remains. Of course, he's still going to be doing all he can. He's trying to get to state leaders and get everyone to at least come together, either by phone or teleconference or in person, and sit down and get this thing knocked out. Otherwise, ferry service will end tomorrow evening with the last run. And we're hoping upon hope that there will be a last hour solution to this, and this ferry service will continue as it has for many years as a free service. And if not as a free service, at a affordable toll. There has been some discussions about that becoming part of this. Right now, I don't think any of that is on the table for serious consideration, but we do think that rather than scrapping this thing altogether, if a toll is necessary, the people I am speaking to on both sides of the river believe that it is an equitable solution for everyone. So keep your fingers crossed and pray if you do. And we just hope that this ferry service continues, because it's so important, a very driving force in the local economies on both sides of the Ohio River. This has been Chris Evans reporting for the Crittenden Press.